This is John Walden, Colorado Springs, continuing our studies in the lives of the kings in the Old Testament. I'd like to consider with you now a man named Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, turned out to be just what his father seemed to fear he might do, he might be. Solomon had said, "Thou knowest not that thy son may be a fool." And sadly enough, Rehoboam had a lot of the characteristics of a very foolish man. Now, he had great privileges. He had a wise father. He had been trained well. His father had written the Proverbs probably especially for Rehoboam, because 20 times in the book of the Proverbs we read, "My son," and then he gives him good advice. He had a good name, too. His name, Rehoboam, means enlarger of the people. Evidently, Solomon had hoped that he would build up the kingdom of the Lord and be a real help. He had great opportunities. Not only did he have a wise father, but when his father was gone, the older men who had associated with King Solomon and had heard his wisdom were left there to be his counselors. Now, God offers us the best, not just the counsel of men, but the counsel of the Word of God. You and I are greatly blessed to live in a land where we have the Word of God in our hands. But what do we do with it? How much did you read it today, during this past week? One man said there's enough dust on most people's Bibles to write the word damnation. If that sounds harsh, you just stop and think it through a little bit. What are we doing with the Word of God which has been placed in our hands? Well, this young man was very foolish. He rejected the wise counsel. You can read about this in 1 Kings chapter 12, or turn to 2 Chronicles chapters 10, 11, and 12, and read the story a little more fully. Don't think that the books of the Kings and Chronicles are just duplicates. In the books of the Kings, God is stressing the human side of things, while in the books called the Chronicles, he is expressing and stressing God's side of things. He's showing what the Lord is doing behind the scenes. Of course, in Samuel and the Kings, you have the history of the kingdom of Israel, a northern kingdom, as well as the kingdom of Judah, while in Chronicles you have only God's kings, only Judah. Well, anyway, you read the story when you have time, and you'll see that the main problem, the main trouble, the main fault with this man Rehoboam is that he rejected the wise counsel of God's word. Now, why did he do it? Well, we're told that he was lifted up with pride. When people reject the Word of God, it's because they feel that they're smart enough without it. They feel that they have the answers. Or, if they don't have them, they feel that they can get them somewhere else. Pride is a great hindrance to being taught anything of God. You know, I've often wondered if Rehoboam didn't get some of this from his mother, who is an Ammonitess. You know, the people of Ammon worship the bull god, Moloch. Moloch was a god made of iron, hollow. They built a fire in the inside of it. It's a horrible thought. And then they actually cast their babies into the arms of that red-hot iron idol with a bull-headed god, Moloch. I wondered whether this idol worship hadn't rubbed off on Rehoboam. And then we're told in 2 Chronicles 13 and 7, the Revised Version says that he was faint-hearted. What was wrong with this man? He didn't have the courage of his convictions. He must have known that the Word of God was right. He must have known that God's Word is the only true guide. Well, in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, we're told in verse 1 that he established the kingdom and strengthened himself, but he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Now, this word established in verse 1 is the same as the word prepared in verse 14. It says he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Is this your problem? Is this your trouble? Have you spent too much time preparing your kingdom, your home, your business, your interests, and no time preparing your heart? Well, you say, what do I do to prepare my heart? I try to do what's best or what's right. Well, now, here's what we do to prepare our hearts. We get before God and let him search out our hearts, first of all, with his word, and show us where we're wrong. We have to accept God's verdict about ourselves. This is very unpleasant for us, for we think that we're better than most. We always compare ourselves favorably with those around us, but God says that we're sinners. We have to accept his verdict. And then he tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he says, without shedding of blood is no remission for sins. He says, as many as received him, not as many as joined church or tried to do right, but as many as received Christ, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. So if you're going to prepare your heart, you're going to have to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Well, this man refused God's word, and he lost everything. And if you and I refuse God's word, well, he just says it this way in the book of Hebrews, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if we refuse him that speaketh from heaven, we shall not escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, he asks in that same book. If we reject the word of the Lord, if we reject the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord of our lives, we have brought upon us everlasting destruction and misery. Now, another lesson we ought to learn from the book of, from the life of Rehoboam, from the book of Chronicles, is the far-reaching effects of this folly. First of all, of course, on himself. My, this fellow brought all kinds of misery onto himself. He could have been well established in the kingdom. The people would have been his servants forever if he had listened to the wise counsel. But instead of that, they rejected him and they said, what do we have to do with you? And he lost 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel by rebellion. Eventually he lost his own life. And then, think of the far-reaching effects on his descendants. I just want to say a word to parents who are listening. Your dads and mothers, remember that you're responsible for those little lives that God has given to you to care for. Is it fair for you to keep them away from Sunday school? Oh, I know you allow them to go, but children don't go to Sunday school just because they're allowed to go. They go when they're taken. Why are you not taking them to Sunday school? And if you are taking them to Sunday school, why is it that you have so little time to talk to them about God's things? Some of you are Christians, and yet your lives are so cluttered up with your business and with other things that you have no time for God's things. Why? Haven't you thought the effects upon your descendants? And then the far-reaching effects of his folly on the nation, for no man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. He affected all the people about him. Oh, it's true that he tried to right some of those wrongs. Later on, when he saw what had happened, it says the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous, but they were never able to lead these people in the way that they saw that they should have gone themselves. It's pretty hard when you have wasted your own life to tell somebody else what they ought to do. I think of that verse in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And you and I have brought misery upon ourselves by our own sin. Our only hope is in the Savior who died in our place. The rest of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The only hope is to turn to the Lord in true repentance. Now, the book of Chronicles, where he stresses God's faithfulness rather than just the history of man, tells us about this man's repentance. And it tells that he entered into the house of the Lord, verse 11. Verse 12, when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him. So this man did turn back to God in humble acknowledgement of what he had done. Now, it's never too late, as long as you're alive, as long as you're here on this earth, it's never too late to turn to the Lord in true repentance. This is true for the unbeliever. As long as there's life, there's hope that you might receive Christ as your Savior. I'm not advising deathbed repentance. I certainly wouldn't advise you to put it off another minute, because he says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But if you're willing to turn to Christ and acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need Christ, he'll receive you. He'll give you eternal life and a home in heaven, and he'll do it right now. And those of us who know the Lord, and we find that we have made mistakes in our lives, some of them are worse than mistakes, they're just plain sins. What are we going to do? Are we going to throw up our hands in despair and say, well, it's too late? No, it's never too late. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't need to waste our lives. We can turn back to the Lord and prepare our hearts, as he said here, to seek the Lord, and we can do it now. And there's nothing more important, my brother and your sister, than to get these things settled, to get right with the Lord, and to be of some use to him. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for thy loving kindness to us. We thank thee for thy willingness to forgive through the finished work of Christ. Bless thy word to us now, we pray, in his worthy name.